Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we get into your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with us and to open this word, Father, to give us a greater understanding of the truth of it, so that we cannot be deceived, Father, by the evils and those that are teaching deceitment today, and that we can walk strong in faith and in accordance with your word, Father, and whatever you would ask of us to do. Now use us in great and mighty ways, Father. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've got a short chapter. Very short. But it's about God's power of and in the ministry. So as we get into it here, verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, this is Paul, though. Now, heaven goes with it. Even though, as they've received mercy, we faint not. They're not going to quit. It doesn't matter what comes against them. They're going to stand and teach this word of Almighty God as it is supposed to be taught. And that's what has been lacking today. Mankind has not been willing to stand and proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And in fact, there is so much of it that today in a lot of our churches are not being taught at all. not being used. It's as if they didn't even know that it existed. Think about this. And if we could get all of the leadership of all of our churches to come together and get in unity in the Word, God's Word, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we would find very, very shortly this world a lot different than what it is right now. Think about this. But you see, mankind don't. That's his problem. He don't think. Now, two, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You see, he's proclaiming here that they're not hiding nothing. They are not walking in dishonesty and craftiness in the ways of this world and letting things of the word slide, and that they're not handling the word of God deceitfully, which a lot today are, because they're teaching things contrary to what the word really says, because they've made it say what they wanted to say instead. Think about these things, because we are living them right today. We're living these very things that is going on right in this day and time. Now, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But now you see, the only reason it's hid from them is because they have not wanted any part of it. And they're not going to go to church to where it is being brought out and taught and preached openly. And when you really talk to them outside of church, they make excuses to get away from you. And a lot of them will just look at you and tell you, I don't want to hear it. Because you see, they know of some that are claiming to be Christians. They're not, but they're claiming to be. And they're going to church every time the church door is open. But they also know other places these people are going that a child of God wouldn't go. So you see, your work is not hid, because people do see you. And they are looking for anything that they could use against you to say, see, I was right. My way is just as good as theirs. Now, and if they find these things, then their way probably is. still got that hacking cough. Now, four. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world. You know, we know the God of this world, or this world system, put it that way. Because the God, our one and true God, he's over everything. But he also turned Satan loose here on this earth for a short period of time. You see, those that are lost there in verse 3 are the unbelievers of verse 4. And they are so controlled by Satan that he effectively shields them from the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The apostle thus categorizes those who find his message difficult to accept. In effect, he is saying that the person who is criticizing his ministry at current is not even saved. He is lost, unbelieving, and has been blinded by Satan. Now, we know that Satan will do everything he can to gospel away from those that are walking in darkness. He will help them to find excuses. Pardon me a moment. To find excuses to stay away from church and to stay away from those that can help lead them out of his darkness and into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just loves to come against me during these times of our study. With all the mucus and all he could possibly scrape up. But we're not going to let it stop us. Because for one, I've got one in me. It's got more power than he's got. And that's the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And he'll see that we get through it. Now, five. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And you see, we are. Those that are true believers today, born again, child of God. We don't serve just Jesus. We are also used by him to serve mankind, to be there for the help that is needed by those that are in need. And if we will dedicate our lives to the Lord God, he sees that we are equipped for everything that is needed. Think about this now. For everything that is needed to help others that are close to us and around us. He knows who our neighbors are. He knows who we will meet each and every day. We don't, but he does. And he knows who will actually even come looking for us. Now, 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Think about that. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Where's the shine? In our hearts. If you be a child of God, you've got that light of Almighty God in your heart. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, and to be able to share that and give that to others, that God would have us 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This earthen vessel, and in the wilderness under the old covenant, God's presence dwelt in tent. But today he dwells in the believer's heart. This is the unspeakable truth and forms a theological basis for holy living. But the stress here is on earthen. An earthenware jar is brittle. It depicts humanity in its weakness. You see, the gospel is not a product of human genius or clever intellect. Humanity in its strength, yet it resides in men of clay, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And we all know that. If you are a born a child of God, you know that the power, that power that's within us, that we can use and do use, is not ours. It is the power of Almighty God. And we use it according to his guidance. Never try to use it without his guidance, without his approval. Now, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Well, we all know about this because we all know the trouble that we do have and run into. That's like what I'm dealing with now. But I'm not in despair over it. In fact, most all of my day is spent in the joy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in giving him praise for different things that not only goes on today, but things I can remember back to. I still praise him for them even. And thank him for the things he did back then, as well as what he is doing for me today, knowing that he will take care. And what will be according unto the Lord our God's plan for each and every one of us. Now, 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And you see, they do persecute us. They lie about us. They lie against us. And they lie to places that they believe that will hurt you and I more so. They don't want to just tell a lie to somebody out here that it's not going to hurt us. You see, because that's what they're after. They're out to tear us down. But, pardon me. Oh. Really sorry, but like I said, he ain't going to win out, so it don't matter. Because we're going right on. Right on with the city. Now, 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. And you see, that is the reason that the Lord died. He died for you and I, so that we could have life, so that we could have the Holy Spirit, which was the Spirit he walked this earth with. He knew what it would do for each and every one of us. And he knew the help we would need. And he knew that the Holy Spirit would be with us to see that that help was always for us. Now, 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He's telling us that we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. You see, we put on his death and we put on his burial and his resurrection. Pastor, how do we do that? You do that through baptism. That's what baptism in Jesus' name is all about. Oh, no, no. You don't even have to be baptized in his name today. That is being deceived. I'm telling you right now, that is being deceived. Now, you say, oh, just what makes you say that? Well, that's not hard to determine. And it's not even hard to find to show you. Because you see, we're told all about it. And the sixth chapter of Romans. Because when you baptize, Acts told you in the second chapter of the book of Acts, tells us what the plan of salvation is. To go to Jesus and repent and be baptized, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right. And it told us to be baptized in his name in the second chapter there, in verse 38 of Acts. Tells us, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Now, and you see, when you're baptized, just here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You're supposed to be dead to sin. Now, how do you get that way? Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see, they can tell you a lot of things. And are today. Telling you a lot of things in a lot of our churches that are not true. They're baptized in Rome. They say, well, Jesus and Matthew sent his disciples out and told them to go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He did. And for that day and that time, that was the way it was done, because they was to be baptized according to John's baptism, because they were still under the law. You're not under law today. We are under grace. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, you see, there's so much deception going on. Satan has got going on. And he sure don't want to turn it loose. And that's why he's after those of us that are willing to stand and proclaim the truth of his word. Think about these things. Now, we drop on down here. Well, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And we are to be speaking today, and speaking the truth of God's word as it is written here in this Holy Bible, which I'm holding in my hand. Now, 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And when we come together, that's what we should be coming together for, is to bring glory and praise and all unto God, and to show him our love and all. He knows these things, but we are also to share it with him and to show him. And also, it lets others see that we are not ashamed of being called a born-again child of the living God, and claiming him as our Savior. Now, 16. He tells us here, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We are to grow every day, and we are to be giving God glory every day for what we have and for him, and him sustaining our lives and using us and giving us a way of being able to step out of this life and into eternity saved, to spend it with him and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, for our light affliction, this affliction and these things that comes against us, they're nothing that we can't handle, because we're not handling them alone. As a child of God, we're not handling nothing alone. He's never gone. He's always there. Now, 18. And this is the last verse. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, that's why you and I can proclaim things into being that are not physically here now, but will be when we proclaim it and bring it into being, because it is in eternity waiting for someone to bring it out and bring it forward. Think about these things, because you see, you're not alone. You're never alone when you are a child of the living God. He is there, sees all, knows all, and he's there every moment, every second with you throughout your day. How much of that are you going to give back to him? All right. We've come to the end now of chapter 4, so we're going to stop here for the morning. Now pray that you've got something out of the study this morning and that you'll be with us this evening at 6 p.m. when we get back into the Word of Almighty God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, I thank you for this word, Father. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the times we can come together to share in the study of your word. And Father, I pray for Israel and Jerusalem. I pray for peace to them. And I also pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, I pray for it. I pray that this land will come to repentance. And those that are sitting in our offices that has brought all this bad evil upon this land and its people, be removed from office and replaced with those, Father, that belong to you, that we can walk, Father, in our own land now in righteousness. And Father, that they will work with us to put our government back on the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I now pray for Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, and my wife Elizabeth, Father, for Sharon Branson, for Darren and Debbie Simmons, for Alex Stone, for Courtney and Shane, for Chris and Sam, and their little family. And Father, for our family, each one of us, we each have family members that are not walking rightly. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work with them, Father, and help to lead them out of darkness and to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, so none be lost. Now, Father, be with us throughout this day, keeping us, Father, in health and in safety, and bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone, I pray that you've got something good out of this today. You walk with God. He'll walk with you. I pray to see you again at 6. Bye-bye now.